Welcome to Revealing Men, conversations that pull back the curtain, revealing the inner lives of men. I'm Randy Flood, psychotherapist and director of the Men's Resource Center of West Michigan. I'd like to welcome Ken Porter back to Revealing Men, and he's a somatic therapist, Hal Comey trained, and I want him to talk with me and have a conversation today about the state of our country and the divisiveness and the anger and the rage that we're seeing. And sometimes we have the outrage fatigue that I've heard recently. But we want to talk about it from a somatic place, from a place of how we act out emotions, how we are not conscious of emotions, how we lack empathy, how we think we're right. And just we work with men groups to try to help them do the inner work and reflection. And we want to talk about it on a macro level today as well. So welcome, Ken.
Thanks, Randy.
Yeah.
Good to be here.
So yeah, what are your just initial thoughts about some of the state of where we're at and how that fits into some of the work that we do or the work you do with individuals to try to help them appreciate what's going on in their inner life and how that gets played out in the communities we live and the way we think and the divisiveness?
I think I'd like to just start by naming that when I can get out of my own head with all this and get out of my own ideas of what's right and wrong and what's needed, who's wrong, I just feel such a deep sadness, such a deep grief. Just seeing where our country is and where the kind of the collective consciousness is. It's really I see plenty of signs of hope too, and I can access that.
Yeah.
I do feel a deep grief when I allow myself to drop into it.
Yeah. And that's probably going to be a better place to be, even though it doesn't feel great, than, you know, the just staying stuck in outrage and anger and looking for targets for anger. And I think we see that sometimes in the men we work with in the groups where there's this rage inside and that gets acted out. But I wonder if you can speak kind of how we're seeing that in society at large and a lot of the anger and the divisiveness and the targets for that.
Yeah, I guess where I go with that is I think largely it comes down to an inability to really comprehend what's going on inside of someone's own psyche.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about men especially, have been socialized to, I mean, in general, it's a generalization, but have been socialized to not be in touch with their feelings, especially their more vulnerable feelings. And so when you don't have access to the whole spectrum of your emotional landscape, you go with the tools that you have. I think it was it Fritz Perls? I don't remember who said, you know, if the only tool you have is a hammer, everything starts to look like a nail.
Yeah.
And so, if all you have is maybe anger and control, or just shutting down, it's like, okay, well, that's your toolkit.
Right.
So I think I see a lot of that, like just people are reaching for the tools that they have, and just not having gained more tools yet.
Right. And so the targets, and I think of the current, you know, way in which we get our news and the social media and the passing along of information, and I think that solidifies kind of the way in which we can kind of develop ideas about who the enemy is and who's right, who's wrong, and that has played in the divisiveness as well. And so there's this lot of emotional reactivity around the way in which we get our news. I'm just wondering if you if you see, we talk about, excuse me, the meme levels, and we talk about the, we say a little bit about the red and the blue, and you know, and the meme. You want to talk a little bit about that, just as a framework of consciousness?
Sure. Just very in a cursory way, I guess. Yeah. So Don Beck, I believe, is one who came up with this model, and it's just a model called spiral dynamics, where it's basically mapping out the evolution of consciousness for the human race. Mm-hmm. And so it's basically like a kind of a stair step of, you know, survival consciousness, and then kind of developing into more of like a magical thinking consciousness, and then into like a might makes right level of consciousness, and then into a law and order level of consciousness, and a kind of a order, like a hierarchy, you know, and then into more of like a science based consciousness, and then into what he calls the green meme, which is more of like a global perspective and environmental perspective. So each level of consciousness in this model is expanding someone's sense of their identity from very individual to tribal to city state to nation state to the whole planet. And so, yeah, we're at a place where we've got people who are basically at all these different levels.
Right.
And all of us are, you know, no matter what level we have gotten to, we still contain all the prior levels.
Right.
So, it's kind of, it's kind of like the Tower of Babel story, you know, where people just suddenly can't communicate with each other. Because really, if you've got people at different levels of consciousness, they're speaking different languages. Mm-hmm. Even if they're using English or using, you know, German, they're speaking different levels of consciousness, and it's really hard to get on the same page.
Right. And so part of, if I recall, the green meme of more respect, equality, kind of seeing what makes us similar rather than what is so different about us that previous levels do. But then even it goes three levels beyond that, if I require, you know, turquoise and yellow and different things. When it moves into language of, as Sam Keen talks about, you know, moving from into a lover energy where you begin to have compassion, you know, rather than seeing yourself as evolved in a pious way and kind of lording over people who are devolved and seeing them as deplorables or whatever language we might use, we have more compassion and understanding, and we have a way of leading people along rather than shaming them.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's kind of where we're at in our culture. There's this tendency to not lead people and inspire, but it's more of a shaming and divisiveness.
Yeah, very much so. In Beck's model, the memes all the way up through the green, like you're alluding to, are, he calls it tier one.
Right.
And in tier one, you tend to think that your meme is the right meme.
It's the only way to think.
It's the only way to think.
It's the only way to order the world. It's the only way to do relationship.
Right.
Yeah.
And then in tier two, like you're saying, you do move into that lover energy where you can see the perspective, and the language that he and Ken Wilber use is transcend and include.
Right.
So you can transcend a previous level of consciousness, but you also recognize you still have that. You still have that might makes right, which is called red,
right.
The red meme. You still have that energy in you, even if you have moved levels beyond that.
And it's needed sometimes.
It is totally
right.
Needed sometimes.
That's the thing that we, that tier two allows us to reflect on, is that there are times where it's okay to engage in competitive sports where it's like someone's going to win and someone's going to lose. And it's okay to want to win. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I was thinking of my son, Zach, when he was playing baseball. And they were kind of stuck in the green where everybody is equal. There's no meritocracy. And they didn't keep score.
Yeah.
When he was like 6, 7, 8 years old or something.
Everybody gets a medal.
Everybody gets a medal, everybody gets a trophy. And so he would come up after the game and he goes, well, did we win? And I'd say, no, you tied again. And he goes, we tied again? He was just aghast, you know, that you know, and again, we all thought that this was going to be good because the kids wouldn't have any hurt feelings, you know, no one would be would lose. And it's, again, it's just, we get stuck in the green beam where the equality, no meritocracy, no hierarchy, and it's like we're all, and there's goodness in that, and we're learning a lot of stuff from that energy of, you know, the abuse of power that we're seeing in society, and, you know, marginalization of people of color, you know, gay people can't marry. We needed to have that, but there's also ways in which that has gone awry. What's it called? The mean green meme.
Yeah, the mean green, right.
Right.
Right. Which is a serious, I think, a serious factor in all of this current political division is, you know, Ken Wilber talks a lot about the mean green meme and how the, you know, people who are operating more at red and blue and orange, which, you know, not to get into all the weeds of that,
right.
you know, feel a lot of resentment towards people who are operating at a green meme because they just feel, you know, I mean, that there's so much elitism and there's so much snobbery. And there is,
right?
You know, there, you know, that's what Wilber's calls the mean green is that, you know, you've gotten into this kind of self-righteousness about, you know, yes, we should all be thinking globally and we should all be thinking, you know, and yeah, I mean, right. It's hard to argue with that, but when you get on a, you know, kind of a crusade about it, it's going to have a backlash.
Yeah, it's like the energy of red gets incorporated into it where you're saying, you know, it's like you're bad and we're more superior than you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and again, they're in the name of equality. We're supposed to all be equal and you don't know how to do it. And so again, that energy ends up being destructive. And I think now we're in this place where there's been this pushback and saying we're tired of feeling like we're marginalized and in all the you know, late night comedies are making fun of us or whatnot, so we have to figure out a way to do it differently. So I'm wondering if you can talk about it just from a somatic level, just in terms of being connected to even our emotions around it, or how we work to develop ourselves, because it doesn't happen overnight, right?
Right, right. I'm trying to remember the author's name. I think his name is Matthew Sanford. He wrote a book called Waking. I might have all that totally wrong, but he was a yoga instructor, or I think actually he became a yoga instructor after he was paralyzed from the waist down. Mm. What he learned was that by the line in the book that that stands out the most for me was that he has never seen anybody who has gotten more, who has developed more awareness of their body without becoming kinder, without developing more love and kindness and opening their heart. It's just kind of an automatic function of of cultivating body awareness, because our bodies are, you know, I mean, our bodies and minds are hardwired through, you know, millennia of evolution to survive, and in order to survive as a human species, we need to work together.
Right.
We need to be communal. And that requires emotional intelligence. It requires mm-hmm. empathy. And so all of that, like when you go into your body with your awareness, you have access to that, to all of that information that has been cultivated through evolution for mm-hmm. a long, long time.
Right. And you can access empathy if you're more connected to yourself. And that ability to pause. And I know that for myself, that sometimes I have, you know, the survival mechanism in me kicks in where I read something or see something or hear something and I just want to react. I just want to say something that comes right to my... And sometimes I do. Sometimes I post or write something and I'm like, that wasn't very reflective. And so the way in which I think... I help myself and I help the men I work with is teaching the value when we're capable of it. We're not, you know, saber-toothed tigers are not running at us. Most of the time we have time to pause and reflect and determine what the best response is. And I think there's so much reactivity.
Yeah.
And it's so seductive because it's powerful to just have this surge of righteousness and, you know, and you just want to pontificate. And so I'm wondering, just as a somatic therapist, just like, what is, you know, how do you pause? I mean, what are some just mm-hmm. tricks of the trade, if you will, to catch ourselves from not participating in so much of the reactivity and divisiveness?
There's kind of two prongs to that. The one is what I would call resourcing, and the other is what I would call mindfulness. So resourcing means that you are accessing your own internal resources to calm down an emotion that is overwhelming you.
Mm-hmm.
So an example of that would be deep breathing. That's probably the simplest, most accessible level. And, you know, deep breathing for even 90 seconds can dramatically shift the course of a runaway emotion. You know, feeling your feet on the floor, you know, maybe even pressing your feet a little more firmly into the floor mm-hmm. and just feeling the sensation of the soles of your feet mm-hmm. making contact. So that can redirect energy that's up in your upper body and up in your head, redirect it down into your lower body, and it's grounding.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it's important just to be able to do that, to cool it down a little bit before you can go in and explore it.
Okay.
The mindfulness end of it is if the emotion is not too extreme to handle, then it's really helpful to go into your body and find it as a sensory expression in your body. So if it's anger,
mm-hmm.
Which we all have plenty of these days, you know, there's plenty of things to get angry about,
right.
To find it in your body, you know, to feel like, okay, my shoulders are hiking up. I feel my fists want to clench. My jaw is getting tight. There's kind of like a pressure in my chest. There's kind of this upward energy.
Mm-hmm.
So connecting with that, it takes it out of the mental and conceptual realm.
Mm-hmm.
And it brings it into the here and now.
Right.
And it brings it into this place where my body knows through millennia how to survive. So it just gets it down into a very kind of nuts and bolts level. And from that place, you know, you're talking about the importance of pausing.
Mm-hmm.
Like that is a way to pause.
Right.
The mind, when you let the mind run away with, you know, this angry thought and what this person should have done or what they shouldn't have done and what I want to say to them the next time, you know, I have a chance, that just tends to be a runaway train.
Mm-hmm.
And when you can just find it in your body, it really slows that train down so that you can stay with it without escalating it.
Right. And that anger is informative. It's part of the data to say this causes me a lot of outrage. This is upsetting. You know, when this happens, people get hurt, or whatever it is that we're hearing about, or, you know, the world's going to be disorderly if this passes, or, and I think that, you know, that survival mechanism is to want to act and mobilize and do something. And sometimes we need to, you know, there's protesting going on, and there's ways that people are organizing and getting together and speaking up. And so that's all good energy. But most of the time, as individuals, what has helped us evolve is that ability to pause and to know what's going on in our bodies, as you explained, and then begin to reflect, then what do I do? How do I lead? How do I address this in a way that has lover energy, in a way that is inspiring to people and they want to come to where we're going, mm-hmm. rather than getting angry and just shaming and criticizing the thing you're all pissed off about. So I was wondering if you wanted to add to that, as I was hearing you talk, that was some of my reflections on kind of the power of pausing.
One practice that I have cultivated is, you know, first I start with whatever the immediate emotion is that's hitting me. So if it's anger, I just let myself feel that. I mm-hmm. find it in my body. Mm-hmm. I just sit with it as long as I need to. If I can, I listen to what it's asking for, like what the underlying need is. Mm-hmm. Maybe find a way to meet that need. But once I've been able to, you know, hit that pause button in that way, mm-hmm. And create this space, I find that it allows me to then let my mind go into the other person's perspective or the other group's perspective. So maybe I got really angry about something I saw in the news and some action that an individual or a group was taking, and I'm just outraged, and I've, you know, I get on my righteous horse and
feels pretty good though, doesn't it?
Yeah, right. Sure. But once I've been able to pause and sit in that for a while, then I find that it creates the space to say, okay, let me put myself in their position. Like, you know, regardless of whether I agree with their politics or their perspective, like, you know, if I was in their position and I was seeing the world through their lens, you know, what would I be feeling? And when I do that, it almost always makes perfect sense to me. Well, mm-hmm. of course I would be responding the same way they're responding.
Right.
It doesn't always, like, you know, it's not a magic wand that's like, okay, it's all fixed now. Mm-hmm. But it does open my heart. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, the more we can all open our hearts, the better this is all going to be.
Right. I mean, I think it's, you and I are kind of progressive guys, you know, we don't need to try to pretend that we're not, hopefully in all the good ways. But I remember when Trump came to town and you wanted to go listen to him and be a part of that. And that was part of your practice was, you know, rather than be a part of the divisiveness, rather than being tribal, well, maybe I can mingle and see what I learn and try to make some connections. Remember that?
Oh, I do.
I think you learned some things during that time, and I was pretty impressed with your effort. And you want to say a little bit about that?
Sure.
Yeah.
I didn't know that we were going to go specifically into politics, but I think this is good.
Well, because, I mean, because you're practicing staying connected to your body and trying to, yeah, and
right.
Immersion in it. I thought that was...
No, I mean, because the reality is I am not at all a fan of Trump. Yeah. I have a pretty visceral negative reaction to many things that he does.
Right.
And I recognize that as a reaction. I recognize that as reactivity.
Right.
And so... my practice has been to understand. Mm. So I went with a friend to a Trump rally downtown, and we got there probably 3 hours before the rally started, and there was a line literally a mile long winding through the streets of downtown.
Right.
And we started from the arena and walked backwards, like against traffic, you know, against the line.
Right.
So we were looking into the faces of mm-hmm. all these Trump supporters, one after the other, for a mile. Mm-hmm. And I was feeling this deep sadness. And I had been feeling it like all afternoon before we even went out there. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't quite sure what it was. But when we got there, I'm like, oh, you know, I think I'm feeling sad because, you know, these people all voted against their own interest. Mm-hmm. That was the story I was telling myself in my head. and I feel sad for them. But after maybe a half a mile of walking and looking at all these faces, it suddenly hit me that my sadness was not about them. It was about how much judgment I had towards them. Mm. Like I was judging each one of these people, like you're, you know, making up a story about, you know, their intelligence level or their morality or whatever.
Right.
And it's like, I'm judging them. And I think many of them are judging me. And this is what it's come to. Mm. Like that, when that hit me, like the sadness just kind of exploded. I just yeah. felt this, you know, like, deep. I feel it right now. Like it's yeah. just kind of welling up in me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I, you know, like that kind of, to me, that was a function of being able to just hold, you know, hit the pause button mm-hmm. and hold space and let myself be present to what was. Yeah. That was a powerful
right.
experience.
Yeah. I can yeah. see it in your eyes now and yeah. you got your mask on, so I can't see your mouth. I think that you ended up having a conversation with some people that it turned out okay for you. And if I recall, I think you stood in line for a while and kind of interacted and tried to just.
Yeah. A little bit. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But maybe it wasn't.
But yeah, no, we didn't get in.
Right.
But we stood outside.
A lot of people didn't get in.
Yeah, right. We stood outside with a huge throng of Trump supporters mm-hmm. Being faced by the protesters, which was interesting. and we watched the rally from the Jumbotron and it was just, it was such a... it was such a, I don't know if relief is the right word. It was so moving to be able to be in this mm-hmm. crowd of people who up until, you know, a half hour earlier, I would have been judging pretty harshly. And to yeah. be able to be in there with my heart open, not judging, just saying, you know, the humanity. I mean, I'm not separate from all of this.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It was a beautiful yeah. experience.
Yeah. I'm glad you were willing to share that.
Yeah,
I'm glad you asked.
I wasn't going to go there, but yeah. I'm glad you brought that up.
No, I think it's, you know, to try to pretend to, you know, we're, you know, nonpartisan or we don't have an affiliation. I mean, I don't think yeah. it's that's disingenuous. And I think what we're trying to say, and you know, kind of as we wrap up, is that just that wherever we are in our persuasion, ideology, dogma, the camps we find ourselves, I think that we're going to stand a much better chance to evolve and have community and civility again by this process we're talking about, even simply as just doing your meditation practice of pausing and getting connected to our bodies and getting, you know, not feeling like we have to be so reactive. And so wherever these listeners are, is, you know, it doesn't matter what your camp is. It's more about how we treat ourselves, manage our emotions, and then go out into the world. Mm-hmm. And hopefully we can start doing that better.
I hope so.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Thanks for coming and chatting with me about it.
Yeah. Thank you, Randy.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Revealing Men. If you're looking for more information about counseling, coaching, and consultative services, please visit the Men's Resource Center of West Michigan online at menscenter.org. Also, feel free to contact us on our website if you have questions about this segment, ideas for a topic, or would like to be a guest on the Revealing Men podcast. Please take a moment to subscribe and leave us a rating so others can find us. Be well and have a great day.